We're live on camera, though. Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Public Works Advisory Board meeting for the City of Morro Bay. It is Wednesday. And what month are we? Oh, it's May. It's May. Thank you very much. As a student, May is a good thing because it's followed by June. So that's a good thing for me. We're going to have our roll call. It'll be known all members are accounted for. And Mr. Olson is just arriving. And I would like to introduce to the board and the community watching, as well as our wonderful audience, which we actually have tonight. Very exciting. Our newest member, Ms. Jane, will I get it right? Wilsbach.
That's correct.
Thank you, Jane, and welcome aboard. Thank you for welcoming Jane, and also let know that City Council advised me that we will be a six-member board until next January's appointment. So we're officially a six-member board at this time, and we'll be through the remainder of the year.
Okay. That being said, just to get it out of the way, what does that do for us Brown Act-wise, two or three people?
A quorum is three.
A quorum is three?
A quorum is still three members.
So it's two, and that's what creates the problem with the subcommittee.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we can't have, whenever we form a subcommittee, the subcommittee cannot exist of a quorum of members of the board.
Understand. Just checking.
I guess I get to be a tiebreaker vote,
yeah.
So... Thank you very much. Let's move on to an acceptance of the agenda. I think we've had a little discussion here before the meeting about juggling a couple things, and I think since we have a large audience and they're all here for one issue, it looks like we're going to be able to move through fairly quickly so you folks won't have to wait too late into the evening. So I hope that that's okay
Madam
for
Chair,
you.
I don't want to belabor the point. I didn't do my math quickly. My understanding of a quorum is 50% plus one. Not 50%. And maybe we can seek clarification, Robert's Rules or something like that. But that's my understanding of a quorum based on when I go to medical staff meetings and things like that, and we're trying to grab people out of the offices.
And normally those boards would all be an odd number.
Pardon?
An odd number.
They were just however many were on the medical staff, but it always seemed to be 50% plus one. And
I'll clarify some of those with City Attorney Rob Schultz before the end of the week, and then we'll have a definite.
I think it would come from Robert's Rules. It usually is what they fall back on, but whatever the city policy is.
All right. Let's see. Can we have back to the agenda. Do we need a motion to approve the agenda as is? Has everybody had a chance to look it over? Everybody okay with what's there? And forgive me for asking, we don't need a formal motion to accept the agenda, do we, Bill? Thank you. Let it be known that we all agreed. Okay, written communications, item number 4A, letter from the City Council regarding the city's implementation of the Green Cities Declaration. And Mr. Boucher, do you want to read either of those two documents for the public, since we actually have a viewing?
Madam Chair, those items are copies of the correspondence that I transmitted to the City Council on behalf of the board, reflecting their actions on those two items, the Green Cities Declaration and the Urban Water Management Plan. So I don't...
Okay, so we're fine without
we're
it.
Good.
Basically, the letters were formal letters to the City Council stating what our board had done in previous actions. So it's a repeat for our board. Okay, moving on to public comment, and we have a large number of people in the audience tonight, which is very nice. We also have one member that will be...
First of all, thank you very much for letting us show up on relatively short notice tonight. And I apologize. Hopefully everybody can see the handouts. We said we had a PowerPoint presentation, and actually I don't have a PC or a laptop PC, so we'll do the best we can with overheads. And if I could without offending anybody, pardon my front and pardon my back. The New Futures Committee was a committee that was formed by the City Council at a meeting in January of this year. We had our first meeting in February, which was more of an inorganizational kind of thing. We've had two meetings since, and we're charged with looking at alternative uses for the site that's currently occupied by the power plant. What initiated this was the sale of the power plant by Duke Energy to LS Energy, which was completed earlier this month. So there's a new owner of that site, which is LS Energy, a group of investors who purchased eight different sites from Duke for about $1.5 billion. So it was a rather large transaction. Our mission statement, if we can focus in on that, which is slide number two, and I think everybody's got a handout in front of them from the committee there. The North Embarcadero waterfront, which is new, Futures Committee will lead a community-driven process, and this is really community-driven, and this is the first time we're out talking to people today, to identify alternate uses for the power plant site. Our mission will be to create and document a vision that identifies and integrates the perspectives, diverse perspectives and requirements of this community. Just by way of background, there's three, next slide, potential situations which might be confronting us. Situation one or scenario one is no change. If Duke wants to, or LS Energy wants to continue to operate the plant the way it currently is operating, which is highly unlikely because it's a very old and inefficient plant, the tank farm property, which is north of the existing plant, which is unused now, it just is occupied by those tanks, which are empty, would become available. Scenario two, which is our second slide, is if Duke, or excuse me, LS Energy decides that they would like to build a new power plant, the plant would occupy the site currently occupied by the tank farm, meaning the existing site where the plant is occupied by very sensitive, environmentally sensitive areas. There's some Native American sites on the property. So that 107 acres would be reduced substantially by the property that could not be touched. But there would still be a substantial amount of ground there that could be turned into something. And the City Council has asked us to look at what those possibilities might be. What we have done as a committee, just to let you know, is we have formed three phases. We're in phase one right now, which is we're defined as the information and gathering data gathering phase. We formed three working groups as subgroups of our committee: short-term finance, existing site research, community communications, and regulations and other interested parties. Short-term finance is looking for little money to help us, little seed money to help us keep going. Existing site research is looking at what is the site, what's it zoned, what amount of property could become available, what are the issues, the environmental issues, what's, you know, just what do we have there, how big is it, what are the dimensions of it, what could be available, depending on which scenario ultimately plays out. Community communications is the group Bill and I are part of, and that's why we're here today. We're trying to communicate to the other committees and groups as part of the city government and also to everybody in the audience, because we're looking for everybody's input on this, certainly. The regulatory side of it is just exactly what can we do and what can't we do in that property. What are the issues about cleaning up the site from an environmental perspective, making it capable for development. Phase two, once we get all the data together, we analyze it, put it together, and move into phase three, which is really document a vision and take that back to the City Council. So we're asking your assistance in helping to document that vision. In fact, we're asking everybody's assistance and try to determine what the vision is that our community would like to see happen with that property, given one of those three possible scenarios playing out. We hope we'll get through the first phase by the fall of this year, and we expect we'll probably be functioning as a committee into 2008. That's our timing. Benefits of this thing, I mean, it's probably the single most significant impact on this community that's going to happen since the community became a city, since Moore Bay became a city. We've got budget issues in the city. if we do this right, we could probably solve a lot of our budget problems if we're going to be going in the future. The people at LS Energy, like I say, have closed the transaction. Members of our committee and the city council will be meeting with LS Energy towards the end of the month. We understand that they're anxious and willing to talk to us. They may say it's their property and they're going to build a power plant and that's it, and that could be the end of this. We were hopeful that there may be other opportunities that may surface out of this thing, and we want to be prepared to take care of those opportunities. Let me ask Bill to step up here real quick. I know we have maximum 5 minutes. I'm trying to talk very quickly. Bill?
Okay.
We're flexible when folks are friendly.
Okay.
We're very friendly.
Thank you.
Why are we here? We're here before you to let you know that we're in business and that we want everybody, including you, to be involved in any solutions that or ideas that are in our input and the outcome that we will present to the council eventually. So we'll be seeing you later, too, keeping you posted, and we want to encourage you to come along and help to all of our activities. Roger?
Yes, please. Could you repeat your...
Bill Newman.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Well, we're establishing our communications network. We have oodles and oodles of organizations listed and ways to communicate with them, and we'll want all of their input. We want everybody who has a stake in what might happen to that property to be involved. And we know we have a wide diversity of opinion, and it's not going to be easy to reconcile everything into one good plan, but we'll do our best at that. And I'm sure you'll hear about a lot of different ideas. And if we will be having a big workshop in September involving the whole community, anyone who wants to attend. But if you have some ideas that you'd like to forward to us, you could call John or better yet, we have listed here that the best contact would be Melody on the council or Rob Schultz, the city attorney, who are meeting with our committee, and they would forward anything that you have to us. Thank you.
We have a website in development right now, but Melody and Rob have said they volunteered that they would be our contact point until that's up and running.
Having a lack of interest, we're just kind of have our hands tied to a little bit. I'm glad to hear that you guys are going to be planning some community workshop meetings, some broad, wide-open things. It's nice to see that people are getting involved to steer directions rather than wait for it to just happen on their own. So I definitely appreciate you folks being here. And
I'd like to add my appreciation and thanks for both of you bringing the city and the citizens up to date. Question. Do you want from this board or from any of the commissions, once we get into this, to bring you suggestions as a board, or is it just to notify the citizenry and to invite participation through this means?
It's really twofold. One is, yeah, as a board,
mm-hmm.
Whatever you see falls into your realm of responsibility that would impact what might go on at that site, we'd like your input directly whenever that's possible.
Okay, one more comment. I love the logo. That's a great logo.
That was two or three people in the group put that together.
Well,
thank you.
It's well done and most appropriate.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And
thank you for showing
anybody
up.
Anybody else, please. Thank you.
Along the lines, I just wrote a note to myself. I'll be suggesting when we get to future agenda items that we agendize for next time the idea of a sort of informational liaison on an ongoing basis with this group, because this effort is so critical and so wonderful in that there's different views on the power plant, but all the contingencies are there, and it's the whole community, and that would be a way of discussing what Roger is suggesting.
Thanks. Anybody else have any brief comments? Okay. All right. Let's move on. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak under public comment on items that are not already on the agenda? So that would be excluding the published agenda items. Please step on up to the microphone. Going once, going twice. Okay. Oh, we have somebody. Thank you, Nancy.
Nancy Castle, Morro Bay resident, who's on a crusade. I'm carrying my bags to the market. I have a botanical garden bag, film show bag, and of course the ever famous and popular Cruise in Morro Bay bag. I started in January. New Year's resolution took me about a month to really get it.
Tell you that, but
I thought it was just paper bags.
It's if they don't use one of their bags and you have your own, you get a 5 cent.
No, my
bag
wife
credit.
Reuses those bags all the time. They get pretty beat up. But eventually you have to get rid of them.
They
can reuse them.
And they get melted down and made into T-shirts and strange things like that, but not quite well enough.
But those of us with pets often appreciate the plastic bags.
That's what the newspaper's for.
Any other public comment? No, I believe not. So, okay, now's the point where we would have announcements. Do any of the board members have any announcements I'd like to make? Anyone? Okay, I'll go last. This weekend, Saturday, from 11 to 4 at Albertsons here in Morro Bay, there will be a food drive and also cash donation collection for benefiting the Slo County Food Bank Coalition. So I'd like to encourage any of you that have shopping to do to maybe hold off until then. Please come out and support a group of Cal Poly students that are raising money for the Slo County Food Bank Coalition. It's a great cause, and the food bank distributes food to, I think, over 25,000 people, and they also distribute food to a lot of other nonprofit agencies that distribute it to their members and people that need food throughout our county. There are a lot of people that are working families, and they're just not making ends meet with their income, so it's nice to be able to pitch in and help out. So, again, it is this Saturday from 11 to 4 at Albertsons in Morro Bay. Roger, go ahead.
I do have an announcement, thank you. And thank you for mentioning that about the Albertsons. Worthy cause, indeed. Recently, I became a member of Friends of the Library. I've always supported the library, I just never officially became a member. And since doing so, I would like to encourage as many as possible citizens of Morro Bay and elsewhere to join me in becoming a member. It's only $5 a year. Our libraries are the most important asset I think we have in our city outside of our bay and our estuary, and they do need our support continually because the county is shortchanging us, as everybody knows. And in Morro Bay, at the last election on Measure L, Morro Bay was the only community in the county that passed Measure L by a two-thirds majority, and that's something we can be very proud of. So I would encourage you, those of you who have not yet become a member but do support the library, to do so. $5 a year, you get some discounts on.
I'd like to do. he's gonna abstain from public comment. Okay. Okay, let's move on to item number 6, consent calendar, the minutes of the meeting of April 19th. Did anybody have any problems or need any corrections or additions to the minutes from last month's meeting?
I think there's a typo, Vicki, in Roman numeral 7. About the third and fourth line from the bottom. It says there were also 3 votes for number 21. And starting that sentence, adopt municipal wastewater management guidelines and reduce the volume of untreated wastewater discharges by 10% in 7 years through the expanded use of, and I think this repeats, of untreated wastewater discharges by 10% in 7 years. I think that should go out. And it should say by the expanded use of recycled water.
It's just a repeat of a sentence there?
Yeah, okay. I think it's just a typo.
Okay.
It's not a big deal, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? We have a motion to accept the adjusted minutes.
I would move. Second.
All right, we have a first and a second. And yes, Bill, you have that look on your face like you have a question.
I think
it was a toss-up. I think Noah.
I'm sorry, I still left there.
actually, as the chair can make an editorial adjustment, hearing no objection from any member. You can just make it as an editorial.
Well, you're just becoming our Robert's Rules of Order little
specialist.
I've been
to lots of meetings,
I think it's wonderful.
And they're repeating.
We need this kind of help.
And then you don't have to have the problem.
That was a motion by Smuckler, a second by Olson.
Thank you.
And were there any no's? It was a unanimous vote as well. Thank you. Okay, on to our next item. Mr. Director, would you like to give us your director's report, please? Mr. Bill Boucher, that is.
Madam Chair, on behalf of the director, I'd be more than happy to. Just a couple updated items. The City Council did approve the permit for the Harbor Walk project and asked staff to express their reservations on a couple of permit conditions, so we've done that. We're in the process now of negotiating an amendment to the design contract so we can finish. Fire Station 54, the Bonita Street Fire Station, we did receive approval of a variance Monday night from the Planning Commission, so I'll be wrapping up the modified request for proposals and getting them back out on the street for our design build contract. We are in the middle of our annual switchover from chloramines to free chlorine on the water system. That'll be going on, I believe, another 2 or 3 weeks. We haven't heard any comments from any member of the public, so the aesthetic issues there are non-existent. The school district water negotiations, the settlement agreement was not received from the school district in time to keep it on the agenda for next Monday for council meeting, so we're delaying that to the first meeting in June. And the City Council did consider the board's recommendation on the Chorro Valley tertiary wastewater plant as part of the urban water management plan, and the consensus of the council was to include it in the city analysis, the city alternatives analysis as part of the wastewater treatment plant upgrade process. And I turn it over to Mr. Cunningham.
Good evening, Mr. Cunningham.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. Probably first thing on my list, you probably have noticed if you're driving around downtown in the Morro Bay, Pacific, Market, Morro, you know, Avenue area, we're tearing up some corners. We're going after very heavily a lot of those ADA ramps as a part of that SCAF lawsuit. We've got 16 of them that we're replacing.
Wow.
In this week and next week.
I saw the cones out today as I walked.
We were trying to, you know, it rained so much in March, it rained so much in April, and then we had the car show, and we're trying to jam as many in as possible before Labor Day. I promised all the motels and businesses down there that, you know, we'll get out of the way, for Memorial Day and hopefully have all those in, so we're jamming. And then we'll be back right after Labor Day to do a few more.
After Labor Day. After
we try not to do that kind of stuff, make messes downtown in the Central Business District from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Now, you might see me out there with a couple contractors out on the outskirts in some residential areas during that time. I'm sort of feeling like I'm getting the work done, but I'm not interfering with the, you know, the hotels and the businesses and so on and so forth. So you might see me sneaking around over on Dune Street or something. So.
We see him sneaking around all the time.
Typically, at the end of the fiscal year, some of the unused street maintenance funds, you know, Dave Phillips tries to spend all that money. His guys are out fixing potholes and doing what they can, but sometimes you just don't spend every penny at the end of the year. Well, I jump in and try to spend it for him. So I steal money from other funds.
And most of these things are in response to lawsuits that the city has faced and also to bring our city up a little better in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and for anybody else using strollers or scooters or anything else that really needs a curb ramp. I know I appreciate it. A little inconvenience, so folks, watch out while you're driving around. Just take it slow. It's okay.
Thank you, Frank, and thank you, Bill, for getting those funds.
The other thing that I noted on the director's report, we had a technical working meeting regarding the MTBE contamination out at the Shell station off of Atascadero, Main Street. The Shell Equilon group was trying to go to the regional board with what they refer to as a clean closure document, saying everything's good and fancy and fine, and getting the regional board to sign off on that. We actually submitted comments that we had some concerns on the documents that they had presented. So the regional board granted us another technical working meeting, which took place a couple weeks ago, and agreed to postpone them processing that clean closure while we do a few more additional tests and monitoring and take care of our concerns. So there'll be more to come on that in the next couple months. Let's see. I think I wrote down in here the bike path on the Quintana Main project was pretty much complete. It's kind of frustrating because you look out there and you see this nice bike path, but it's not being used. It's probably because we have it barricaded off. But, you know, the developer contractor, you know, they want to make sure it's safe. They need to stabilize the embankment down to Main Street. You probably saw a couple of laborers out there today cleaning up that hillside down below the bike path down to Main Street, just getting it all cleaned up. They'll put in some soil stabilization. There's quite an extensive landscaping plan that they'll be putting some landscaping down there, again, to help stabilize that embankment. And I think when the developers and contractors are ready and the city's willing to take over relief of maintenance, the bike path will be open.
May I ask a question on that place? I'm driving by it, I noticed that the south factor.
It was designed to exit out at a handicap ramp where there's pedestrian push buttons.
Right.
So that they could cross through the crosswalk across, you know, Main Street to get over to that north, you know, east corner of Quintana and Main, or go up. So that, and there's actually a ped button there to cross the driveway. The driveway is controlled by a signal.
Okay.
So in essence, it puts them on the corner where there is a handicap ramp to get down into the crosswalk. And then as, you know, I mean, if I was riding my bike and I was coming down that hill, I'd want to time it for a green light,
mm-hmm.
and then go along with, you know, southbound Main Street traffic and zip up that hill. But there is a red light. So if somebody coming down the thing and there's a red light, they should stop, push the button, and wait for the green light to cross that driveway.
Okay. Thank you.
On that topic, there were pros and cons of different approaches, but it was quite extensively discussed, the bike path one way or the other, and how to deal with it in the property. And there's a lot of discussion, no oversight, and it's looking good.
Any other comments or questions for Frank?
And that's all I had on the director's report.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask Bill a question, and perhaps you may suggest that I agendize this. I'm still need to better understand the report about the 9-month trial of Sunday service.
Mm. And I was just going to ask if we can have Janine at our next meeting.
Is it says the city's allocation to the Regional Transit Authority, is that an allocation of general fund money?
No.
But
there is
federal transit money.
Where does it come from?
Transportation money, the TDA funds or Transit Development Act funds are allocated to each jurisdiction on a formula base. It's a formula that was negotiated amongst the agencies based upon a combination of population and lane miles and such factors. But I think the bottom line of what Janine's getting at is that there's a finite pot of money.
Okay, and see, as I understand it, if the Regional Transit Authority decides the Sunday pilot, and I don't know the details of what the pilot is, but whatever it is successful and continues it, then the amount of money we have to spend on our own dial-a-ride goes down.
So by going with a Sunday service, we're not sure how transit-dependent people are going to get to the bus stop on Sunday, for one thing. The other thing is that if it means that we have to eliminate Saturday service, then not only have we can't get to the people to the Sunday, but we can't get them Saturday either. So there's a number of moving parts in there.
And then there's the finances of it, and I think we're headed to agendizing this. One of the other aspects would be simply the nuts and bolts logistics of the calendar of the trial, when they would make their decision in relation to our fiscal year and when we signed the contracts and all that kind of thing.
And Janine has lots of good information in that area.
So I think we'll agendize it.
Well, it's already coming up. One of the things that I was going to say, first of all, I was going to announce that the trolley begins its summer schedule on Memorial Day weekend. And Janine's not been with us the last few months, and I'm sure she will be, because we'll be hearing one of the future agenda items will be North Coast Transit Plan. And the consultant is finally, I think, ready to get something back to us. I spoke with Janine about this, and I'm pretty involved in transportation. One of the things with the pilot program is SLOCOG and RTA has decided to initiate this pilot program of Sunday service. Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo have already maxed out their transit funds, which means the county is actually going to float the extra amount of money that it costs us to do the pilot program on Sundays. Now, the pilot program stays a pilot program for a set amount of time, and there has to be a fixed, by formula, a fixed number of riderships to make that permanent. If we don't have that ridership, it's a moot point. It doesn't become a permanent issue. If it becomes a permanent issue, as Mr. Boucher said, we will need to find money to fund it. We'll either need to cut service someplace else, or we'll need to come up with other money, but not necessarily general fund money. I don't think that would be as likely. I think we may need to try to find some other grant money or something, but at this point, the county is going to need to pay for the pilot program for City of San Luis and for Morro Bay.
I fully understand the county pays, but then if they declare it successful and continue it, we're kind of stuck in it's how much advance notice and the issue of other possibilities. While we're on transportation, while we don't have the routes, it's a, why don't you explain the change in the route so people hear about that Albertans is more accessible now?
And we know, too, that this is not Mr. Boucher's area, so he's being very kind
and
trying to interject for us.
Yeah, the times that I've tried to speak on Ms. Burlingame's behalf, I'm always wrong.
Well, then to all improvements. Very good staff work.
And the Sunday service pilot program, just to reiterate, was a 9-month program.
Starting when?
I think it's August. Okay, is there any other questions for Frank or for Bill on any of the staff report issues? No? Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Old business? None. That's easy. New business. A, appointment of PWAB members to the APCD Greenhouse Gas Subcommittee.
I make a motion that we alter the agenda.
The agenda, and let's do that second, and let's address what these citizens are here for.
Well, we already approved the agenda.
Oh.
And this is going to be, I think it'll pan out in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Bill, do you want to take this?
I'd be more than happy to, Madam Chair. This was supposed to be a really easy item, frankly. the presentation that the council heard and that you have as part of your package and we emailed them sounded fairly complete and fairly fleshed out. At long last, I finally talked to the staffer at the Air Pollution Control District that's in all likelihood going to manage the program. They haven't decided that yet. And she told me that they really haven't fleshed out the program yet. The governor has a panel that's going to be making a report back to the governor this summer. They're going to use that as their springboard, and they're going to do their countywide or start their countywide inventory program in late summer. She kind of outlined how she could help us put our program together in advance of their program, which kind of seemed backwards to me. And then I asked her, after going through these various iterations, and there's some fairly complex stuff that would need to be done, I asked her if she thought it would be better if we waited for them, and then because the appointment from council was to work with them, not for them to work with us. So I asked her if she thought it would be better if we waited for them to be ready to go and then we jump on, and she thought that would probably be wiser.
So essentially where we are is this was on the agenda for us to discuss it and have volunteers from this board, two members, be a part of this ad hoc subcommittee. The committee itself is not ready.
Yeah.
So we're basically tabling this until we have the information that we need to actually go forward with it. What I'd like to ask the board to do is look through the information that's in the packet and put some serious consideration into whether or not you have interest in that. As it comes up, you can be a little more prepared, and we'll be looking for two volunteers to join the subcommittee. It's supposed to be ad hoc, which means temporary.
The nature of the commitment is available.
Do you have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that is unanimous.
And was that our new member's first, second?
That was Dorfman. Dorfman for,
yes,
for the motion. And Wilsbach for the second. Thank you. Just clarification. So that was why we went ahead and did that and didn't change the agenda, because we realized that that was going to be a moot point. So now we're going to move on to item 9B, discussion of petition received from citizens requesting a traffic signal to improve safety and control the intersection of Quintana Road and South Bay Boulevard. And Mr. Boucher or Mr. Cunningham, who shall... They're going to talk in unison, so this will really be exciting.
My voice will be fading off into the whole...
As he goes out the front door.
Does this mean you're leaving us, Bill?
As he should be.
Thank you very much, Mr. Boucher. Have a wonderful evening.
And a life, too.
Is it the ball games? Or what?
Madam Chair, members of the board, as you can see, we have practically a packed house, and I think this is great. This is kind of unusual for us. We're usually here kind of lonely, but this is a good item. And this is exactly what, in a way, PWAB is set up to do. And what I'd like to do is kind of go through the process and how it all kind of integrates. You know, when there's things that happen out there, whether it be accidents or near misses, or just people seeing something they just don't think is safe, you know, they usually contact the city. And they're asking for a yield sign or a stop sign or, you know, some sort of a safety precaution. And so that's the typical kind of stuff that we bring to the Public Works Advisory Board to review all the facts, take the input from the public, listen to, you know, a babbling on city engineer, go through what we can and cannot do, and they try to make advisory recommendations to the city council. In this case, we're here tonight because of the petition. And we're here tonight because the petition referenced really two things. One was the existing, you know, hazards and conditions, as well as potential for new development increasing, or, you know, and having some additional impacts to this intersection. And I'd like to split those, and I have to, actually, because PWAB deals with sort of what the advisory board, your board, is to kind of take testimony, both sides, see what the conditions are, what are the concerns. And this is a great lead-in, by the way, for the Planning Commission. This is kind of like a nice trial run, too, to, you know, get the ideas of what everybody's concerns are, how to make improvements, and this will be a very nice lead-in to eventually that CEQA process, Planning Commission, and ultimately the, you know, City Council decision to accept the tract. What I wanted to talk about tonight was some of the operational operations of the intersection itself, and then I was actually going to go through the accidents that have occurred out there. We, you know, we go back and look at that's part of my job, is to look at all the accidents and come through. When I start to see a certain number of accidents over a certain period of time, it's my, you know, beacon to pay attention and evaluate it and do something. And that's where I have the ability to, on my own, bring something to your board to say, hey, there's been several accidents out here, haven't heard from the public, but, you know, we have to deal with it. Fortunately, with this development that is being proposed out there, which is the Colmer, 18-unit development, one of the conditions we typically require is for the developer to hire a traffic engineer to do a traffic analysis, you know, of the vehicles leaving the development and how it's going to impact, you know, roads and facilities, existing stuff. So the benefit here is that we actually have the benefit of a licensed, you know, traffic engineer doing all this stuff, studying that intersection, making recommendations, and evaluating both the here and now as well as the future development. So with that said, I'll turn it over to Mr. Charlie Klaus with TPG. And he has a short presentation, and then I'm sure you can take public comment.
Thank you, Frank. Madam Chairman, members of the board, it's a great pleasure to be here. This represents the the way station, the first way station, on a journey that we began several months ago when we were commissioned to prepare a traffic evaluation of the intersection and surrounding area of Quintana and South Bay Boulevard. I'm pleased to announce that we've completed the evaluation and looked at it from several different angles, and Frank gave you kind of a nice overview of some of the technical issues that we've been asked to look at. This document was prepared in concert with the city staff and or how is the intersection working today. And I'm going to focus on South Bay at Quintana, since that seems to be the one critical intersection that folks are providing as much interest to. We did look at the ramp intersections at the freeway and have worked with Caltrans in terms of some of their thoughts for future development or improvement there. The first part of my report would suggest to you that the current level of service at Quintana and South Bay is delineated as a C level of service in the morning, the AM peak hour found between 7 and 9, and E is an Edward in the PM peak hour. Now that's an overall intersection level of service. Quite frankly, the critical movements for level of service in an unsignalized intersection with two-way stop control like we have out there now are the movements primarily eastbound and westbound on Quintana, and the truly critical movements are the left turns moving on or off of Quintana onto South Bay Boulevard.
Could I just ask, could you clarify what you
anytime
mean by C and E level? So we have a
clarify the priority of the levels. And
I apologize if I suddenly go into jargon like that. Okay. Please stop me because I get alphabet soup every day in my brain.
And this part about existing is, at least for me and I think for the board, so critical, because that's the part that we have a purview to comment on as a point of departure when it does go to planning.
Absolutely, and. And feel free to ask questions along the way. I don't want to be so structured here. It's really a conversation tonight. Gearheads like me use alphabet as a way to define things, and A level of service is the best, F level of service is the worst, and everything in between is things that we can find in our day-to-day life.
So it's a level of adequacy of control, of control in relation to the traffic load.
It generally represents the relationship or the ratio of volume in the intersection to capacity. So as we use up more and more capacity, we get closer to F. Now, traditionally, most jurisdictions, whether it be Caltrans in this case or the city, use something besides F as their standard. And what we've chosen to use in terms of our evaluation is C level of service. Now, that in downtown LA would be absurd. Nobody would want to see C level of service as your mitigation measure or your standard, because you just can't get there. But 80% of the capacity is a C level of service, so from 70 to 80% is generally a C level. D is 80 to 90, E is 90 to 100, and then once you hit saturation or 100% capacity, to demand to capacity, that's deemed to be F level of service.
Before that intersection, how many cars is that?
It's really almost impossible to quantify, because now we're starting to get into some of the subtleties of it. It's the relationship between through movements and left-turning vehicles in uncontrolled intersections, in signalized intersections, for example. It's the saturation flow of a lane. So we get very surgical about how that works. And so some intersections can handle a whole lot of traffic because of their geometry and because of the balancing of traffic. In other locations, very small amounts of traffic cause problems. And so we have to be very surgical about looking at a specific intersection. And we've done that with this study and define Quintana at South Bay Boulevard as it currently exists and go through that evaluation.
Madam Chair, maybe I can cut through a little mustard too. Think of it about as X amount of seconds delay. Level of service, if you're getting in that 9-10 second delay, you're a level service of A. You start getting into that 16-17 seconds, where you're pulling up to stop and having to sit there for, ooh golly gee, 15-16 seconds, level of service of C. When you start getting up into higher delay times, then you're getting into the lower levels.
And these are mainly for the peak hours, for the morning and the evening peak hours?
Right.
Any estimates for the in-between?
No, and I have to be honest with you, we generally, as a standard in the industry, only look at peak hour.
At the peak times to get the
maximum. Because that's where not only the majority of us run into that kind of delay, as Frank suggests, that's the best way to do it. But it's also the time when really you have problems. The rest of the time of the day, it tends to work at a reasonable or acceptable level of service. Now, I will say for this location, that's true. But if you go to a shopping center, midday might be the worst part of the day. So it's sort of associated with the adjacent land uses as well. But we found in this study that AM peak and PM peak generally were the most critical times of the day.
And we didn't need an engineer to tell us that, those of us who live here, do we?
And the sad part of my job is, quite frankly, I'm telling you the obvious, okay? I mean, you all live with this every day, and I think, you know, you have a general sense of what the conditions are. So I'm going to give you kind of quantification or an analysis term.
To be adopted rather than send something to them that can't be. So it's good for us to go through the formal formula. So I appreciate it.
And that's one thing that we're trying to do with the industry is be in a more standard format. So as you get studies before you, you'll have that continuity from one study to the next, and you'll understand when somebody comes along and says sea level of service, you'll have that. The other item that we looked at is accidents, as Frank alluded to, and there have been a number of accidents out there. Again, we don't just look at the number, but we really start looking at the types of accidents, and they really stratify into a couple of different kinds. The first is rear-end accidents, as somebody's stopping primarily on South Bay Boulevard to make a left onto Quintana, and somebody comes in behind them. The other kind is somebody trying to make a left off of Quintana onto South Bay Boulevard, and they have what's in the industry called a right angle, meaning somebody on South Bay hits them. I will say there's no preponderance. There's no one or another that seems to be standing out. There's kind of a scatter diagram of directions and kinds. So we don't really have a overriding accident reason or cause out there. We've got lots of different things going on, and that's going to lead into some things that we'll talk about here in a second.
Do the accidents distribute proportionally time-wise during the day according to the traffic flow? In other words, or are they concentrated? What I'm trying to get at is, are there accidents even when very little of the capacity is being used, so you don't have the delay issue, but the difficulty still of enough flow and feeling safe to get through? Or are there a number of accidents when it's not a lot of people backed up, just the difficulty that that's?
My answer to that is yes. And maybe that's not even a good answer, but most of the accidents, people are not paying attention. Somebody's pulling up, you know, they're northbound on South Bay Boulevard. They're wanting to turn left. Maybe they're signaling. Maybe they're not. Next thing you know, the brake lights are coming on. Somebody's behind them. Bam. You know, they've, you know, T-bone them. Or somebody's just making a maneuver out there. Now, remember, these accidents, what we're trying to go after are preventable accidents. I mean, somebody's out there driving drunk or doing something this and that.
Right.
You know, you really can't design for it.
And can you give some sense of serious injury accidents versus not to the cars but to the people?
I think there was only one.
Keep in mind, too, that if there were enough accidents by formula, Frank would be able to do this without coming to our board.
On peak time where, you know, guys fall along behind one car, and like I said, bam, they hit the brakes to make that left, and they just weren't paying attention, and they've rear-ended them. So it's hit and miss. You know, in the peak hour times, there's so many cars running along there, and they're not really speeding because they're going at the speed that the slowest car is going at, but they're all locked in there, so they're kind of locking up, you know, northbound South Bay or southbound South Bay in the evenings. It's those maneuvers, especially at the intersection.
Just to complete the accident picture, pedestrians involvement?
We've seen none. Let me also add that as part of the accident evaluation, we also profiled the frequency. You can have a lot of accidents, but in proportionality, it may be a small percentage. And so what we do in the industry is look at data on a statewide basis for intersections like that, small town, one lane in each direction, comparable geometrics. And we look at the statewide average of all those types of intersections throughout the state, and then we compare the accident rate at that location, South Bay and Quintana, just to see if we're actually high, low, or about in the average. And while there are a number, and we're not denying that, it's not in a disproportional high ratio compared to the state average. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't things that we can do to make it better, and obviously you don't want to be above the average. You want to be, you know, way below the average as a goal. But it's another tool that we use to judge criticality in this case. Moving along, we looked at things like does it meet traffic signal warrants under the current conditions, and the answer is it does not. We tested it. There are 11 signal warrants that the state of California uses. They ask the cities to follow those. They're standard warrants for all kinds of different things, but the warrant is used as a way to create commonality and assurance. So that if Frank has a condition or any city has a condition and it's warranted, you put a signal in. If it's not, you don't. There's a lot of reasons that the courts have found from a liability standpoint you don't want to put in signals where they don't belong. Boulevard, and only 15% is on Quintana. And that's a significant disproportion for engineers to look at. You try to want to see more balance for four-way stops, for example, because you don't want to stop 85% of the traffic to allow 15% of the traffic to do things. You also look at it in terms of signal warrants and those kinds of things. So that's part of the equation here. Based on that evaluation, we came up with a series of recommendations and had some consultation with Frank and his staff, and are making some recommendations in the context of this is an evolutionary process for South Bay Boulevard. What you have today is the first step along a road that will ultimately bring about a different roadway out there, but it will be a first step towards resolving some of the issues that you deal with out there today, and can be used as a building block to the long-term plan for South Bay Boulevard. We're recommending that at the intersection that the left turns be segregated from the through movements and the right turn movements. So for South Bay Boulevard, you would have separate left turn pockets and then separate through right turn lanes. And we're recommending that for a couple of reasons. It does provide some additional capacity and will help remediate the E level of service during the PM peak hour. We're also suggesting that some of the accidents, and Frank talked about rear ends being one of them, some of those are from people turning left and vehicles waiting behind that and somebody coming in behind and hitting them. By moving them out of the through movement, that will give them a safety place to make lefts, wait for the oncoming traffic to clear, and through movements can pass by them.
Did you mean lefts on Quintana and South Bay, or just Quintana?
Well, for the first part of this is for South Bay. Absolutely need to have that. Yep.
Where the 85% so, of traffic is.
So we're recommending South Bay. And again, keep in mind the proportionality that I talked about. 85% of the traffic is on South Bay Boulevard, so those kinds of improvements are going to really make a big difference for the preponderance of traffic there.
Are the improvements you're going through are improvements that make sense from the traffic engineering point of view for existing conditions given no development?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, a refuge for the left-turning movements while they wait for oncoming traffic to clear. So that will address some of the accident profiles that we've seen, as well as provide additional capacity in the intersection to elevate that PM peak hour to something above level service E. The second task that we're given was to evaluate the changes in the area with the additional traffic from the planned development, the 15 lots and the duplex.
Can you point out which one of the corners that's proposed for? Is that the
Let's see, the
southwest corner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think Frank's highlighting the site currently.
They'll basically be utilizing the same driveway as the Blue Heron, only they're going to peel off in this direction right here to the 18 homes.
Are you going to tear down that house? There's a house up there.
I don't think so.
Okay. Go ahead.
The first part of the process of evaluating the changes that might be brought about as a result of that particular project were to estimate the volumes that would come out of that once it was built out. And again, we have a relatively small development, only 17 units total, 15 and a duplex. Using standard methodology for generating trips and from trying to estimate peak hour in the PM, and I'm going to focus on that because that's the worst condition. Again, it was the E-level service when we looked at the current volumes, and it's also the highest generator of trips out of the subdivision. We anticipate 17 peak hour trips coming to or from the subdivision after it's fully built out. So from the standpoint of if I'm at the end of the driveway at Quintana and standing there, I would see 17 vehicles passing me sometime between 4:30 and 5:30 in the afternoon, either going to or from the new sites.
Can you show the driveway exit again, please?
Yeah. Frank's got the red light on it. So if I was standing where the light is, I'd see 17
And that comes
vehicles.
Out on Quintana?
Yes.
That's coming out on Quintana.
13 or 14 new trips to an intersection that's already got 1,300 in it.
And peak hour is
peak hour.
Hour?
Yeah. The peak 60 minutes between 4 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock in the evening. And some days that might be 4:30 to 5:30, and other days it might be 4:45 to 5:45. It moves around a little bit.
But that's just the PM, not the
It's just
not
the PM peak. So we've got about 1,300 vehicles in the intersection, all movements during the PM peak now, and we're going to add 14 additional trips as a result of the project.
Okay. How much widening would you have to do to South Bay to accommodate those right and left-hand turn lanes?
It's really looking at this point like minor widening, a little shoulder work. We may actually be able to get it in the existing pavement. It just kind of depends on what shape the pavement's left in at this point, but we believe it won't require substantial widening. It won't require any additional right-of-way. It may just require some additional shoulders and certainly new striping, new signing, those kinds of things, but primarily within the existing right-of-way. As a result of those 13 additional trips, we went back and reevaluated level of service for all the intersections, but again, looking at Quintana and South Bay, and quite frankly, the 13 don't add any substantial impact to the intersection. The level of service with the proposed lane configurations that we talked about are far above level service E. So the impact, and I use that term kind of loosely because it's used as a term to define something that a project's going to do, but in this case the homes are only going to provide 13 additional trips during the peak hour in the intersection. We're continuing to work with the city staff and the potential developer to kind of work through this process. Obviously, it's still got a public review period to go through with the Planning Commission, et cetera. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have or further some dialogue on some of the topics I brought up.
We definitely have some.
Yes.
Roger,
I do have a couple, if I may ask. Also, for the benefit of the citizens here in at large, how far south from Highway 1 off-ramp is the Caltrans sphere of influence?
Probably not
So we don't need to worry about Caltrans at all with this particular issue?
I would say in the context of do we need their review and approval, in a global sense, no. In the sense of will we wind up in there right away as part of the improvements, potentially, and that would require a permit process. The dialogue we've had with Caltrans staff at this point is they will deal with the ramp improvements at the time those are necessary, but anything outside the ramp area, they're more than willing to work with the city in order to make those kinds of improvements.
Okay, thank you. Second question.
Well, Roger, before you jump off on that, I was told 100, I think it was 120 meters, so 360-something feet down away from the ramps. What we're proposing, or what, you know, what I'm seeing at least thus far, to put in the turn lanes won't back up, but it'll alleviate and free more cars. You know, it'll just pull some of those cars out into those pockets of, you know, of safety. If we were to propose a signal, and depending on our phasing of the signal and the timing and the delay, and we had the potential to stack cars back into their sphere, yes, Caltrans will come forward and say, no, you're interfering with our off-ramps and this and that. Your queuing factors are going to, you know, diminish our level of service and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, from the city end of it, I have to look south of the intersection, and the same thing. If we start to put a signal in and we start queuing up cars to the south of the intersection, you got that little S-curve, and people come around that S-curve, if they don't have the sight distance to be able to see cars stacked up there, boom, T-bones, you know, rear ends, whatever you want to, not T-bones, but rear ends. So both of them, in a way, you know, you have to evaluate both for Caltrans and from the city perspective to the south. So,
okay, thank you. What, if anything, has been done for the pedestrian with this redesign?
Well, the pedestrians will be able to access the intersection in a very similar manner as they are now.
And okay.
I think the laughter is to do with how many people do we see actually walking down there safely? Yeah, the bus stop is actually scary to stand at, I can say.
I'll let the citizens speak. I didn't know I was hitting a button. Also, who pays, who's going to pay for this improvement?
Yeah, designated for that intersection.
Good step to take, thank you. Would you, I'll save that for later. Those are my questions, thank you.
Okay, any questions on this side? Dr. Dorfman?
Mm-hmm. Justice, on the accidents, was there any relationship to, or any increased volumes actually in relation to the tourist season, or any higher problems in the rainy season?
We didn't evaluate those differences.
Fine, I'm an epidemiologist in past life.
I might be able to say, because I looked at the accident reports also. You know, during the typical season, you've got the high school kids, the junior high school kids back and forth, and commuters for work. During the summer, and those go away during the summer, but then you get the tourism, so you get the traffic volumes from the, you know, visitors at the motels zipping around, going to the state park and this and that. So you probably get a little bit less of that peak hour, you know, but you get more of the during the day type of stuff.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
And quickly, with our lift station in the area, we talked about that potentially needing some development in the future. Is this project going to have any effect on our lift station, the zones there, and would this potentially be something we'd want to piggyback on with that project?
Well, that will be evaluated during the, you know, submittal and review and CEQA process.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
That is planned. That's a definite. I mean, CEQA and the Colmer and
every subdivision goes through a CEQA process and goes through the review process and condition process.
But in relation to what Noah was asking about the lift station, that will definitely be
sure. Okay. I mean, the city has to look at all of the infrastructure and how the impacts of new development. Is it going to overtax our existing sewer lines? Is it going to impact our existing pump station? You know, water availability, roads. We go through the whole.
And those are issues that are really on Planning Commission rather than our board. predominantly.
Well, that's what myself and Nick go through, and then we make recommended conditions, and then if they want to waiver from those conditions, then they ask that to the Planning Commission.
Thank you. I was just seeking clarification.
Okay. Jane, sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no problem. I wanted to ask, in addition to pedestrians, have you considered bicycle? Is there bicycle lane there? Have you considered the bicycle traffic?
I don't believe there's a bike lane there now. Oh, I take that back. Yes, there is. I'm sorry.
In fact, I like to cross and use the east side of Quintana Road and drive through the pasture down there. And I notice a lot of the people, there's always somebody walking down there. But that is a difficult intersection to cross, and you've got to really watch it. So,
To cross
South Bay Boulevard on Quintana.
As a pedestrian or a car?
As anything.
As anything.
Whether you're on a car, a bike, or a pedestrian. A dog even. You know?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm seeing, and I'm gonna use my chair authority, I guess, to just interject this. I can see why we have multiple problems and overlying problems. If I'm understanding the citizens here, most of you are living at the two mobile home communities. Is that correct?
Correct.
Could I see like a show of hands of who's in the Blue Heron? And then who's in the other one? I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. Okay, so most of you are living in that intersection and you're dealing with trying to get in and out. And this gentleman is a consultant hired by the developer that's going to put a development in, and your needs are different. And wow, and I'm blonde, and I got that right. This is I can see why it's frustrating, and I got to say too, I've had to cross there a lot, and I don't drive anymore. But when I'm with somebody else, and I cringe when they're trying to cross it. It can be hairy. I mean, it really can. And I know that, you know, the safety issue is going to be a big concern. I can see that since the developer can foresee, now I'm really going to step on some toes here. I can see that the developer is going to end up having to pay for this, so they're going to want as little as possible. And I can see that you folks are trying to take care of your own safety and the safety of your neighbors and the people walking around in there. And you know, one thing leads to another. We put a traffic signal in there, then we've justified room for more development, which normally I'd like to say, well, that's maybe not a good idea, but safety's primary. And do we take a lead, and do we do something before it gets worse? In Frank's comments, when he talked about putting in a traffic light, we're now involving Caltrans, and Caltrans has a real habit of being, well, toads. They don't tend to think that, you know, that they should participate in community issues. They have their own, and they supersede us as a city. That's a scary part, you know, where we could compromise between.
Madam Chair, members of the board, and this is part of my job. Let me kind of reel this back in just a little bit. This isn't a scary issue. This is the process. I mean, you know, and this is every development that comes in. There's always the opportunity through the CEQA process and the Planning Commission hearings for lots of public testimony. So this is really, in a way, your first opportunity to make comments, let the developers and the developers' consultants, you know, city staff, PWAB members, you know what you guys are concerned about.
Right.
The part I'm trying to reel it in a little bit is that is not really the discretion of your board tonight.
Right. No, I'll just say this for clarification.
I don't want you integrating with the Planning Commission because then I'm going to get the Planning Commissioners all mad at me.
Well, we can't do that. And I'm basically trying to acknowledge the actual people who live here because you've put a lot of effort into it, and I'm trying to let you know that we're bound in certain ways. Mr. Cunningham's bound in certain ways. Everybody has their own issues, and I'm trying to make sure that you understand that you're being heard even when our hands are tied. So you're going to have an opportunity to speak well. I understand that Mr. Comer's in the audience. I would like him to speak. I'd like to hear what's going on. I only interjected those comments because, to me, that's the gap between what I'm seeing here, and I didn't realize that we had these two different issues until we got your petition. And that was my lame attempt at trying to acknowledge you for your own issue, which may be very different from what the developer is. And that's all. So we're going to
May I interject? And if I could push that button one more time, that, you know, I'm really happy to hear all the testimony, but, you know, what I really need to hear is what are the concerns of the existing condition? Because let's face it, development comes and sometimes it goes. You know,
right,
people come
right.
in with proposals.
No, I'm not anti-development. I'm just trying to let people understand that there's trade-offs with all of our decisions.
The reason we're here is a petition for the existing concerns and conditions, and then if the public wants to also express your concerns with the proposed development, that's great. That's good information for me. That's good information for PWEB. It's good information for the developers and their consultants. But as far as my understanding is, PWEB is really just to address the existing hazards and
right.
conditions, so that if nothing else, if there's something that you guys think I need to do between now and...
...are how we have to separate it, because we're not planning. We're public works. So that was my attempt. And I apologize if I've offended anyone in the process.
Well, Frank, I think really something should be done to slow down the northbound traffic coming from the direction of Los Osos there. Because
that would be
it's
me.
Bad enough to cross that thing in a car, let alone a pedestrian.
Right.
And a lot of these people that live in that Blue Heron go walking down that east end of... It's a great place to walk. But in a car, from the time people come around that curve, it may be difficult to cross, let alone trying to cross on foot. So for other purposes too, that traffic should be slowed down, as you well know, because there are too many accidents down there already. So what can be done to throttle them back?
Well, and Chair, if I could say, would like to comment on the role of the consultant for the developer. Yes, the developer paid because he has to, but it isn't quite like lawyers or medical testimony. You go around and buy what you want. I think especially Frank, in essence, supervises it, because he's told us this has been delayed a number of times because he wanted to flush out to make sure it gave all the information. And so I don't think it's biased information one way or the other. And I would like to emphasize, because I'm anxious to hear from you to get the real picture, and if you could show where the crosswalks are, quickly.
What crosswalks?
There aren't any crosswalks painted
okay.
there.
Point, and to emphasize the concerns about life as it is now, because that's what we can respond to, act on, and will provide the most useful point of departure for the Planning Commission. If we look like we're commenting at all on the future development, whatever we say will frankly not be well received and maybe ignored.
It's simply out of
because
our purview.
That's not our purview. If we can stay within our purview, and if you can keep your comments on now, and I realize the concerns that the development certainly may not make it certainly won't make things better, that will help us respond to you. And I'm anxious to hear what
Before we do hear from the public, I would like to invite, if you would like to, Mr. Colmer to come forward if he has any comments that might be pertinent to this particular issue. And then let's hear from the public respond.
Well, but that's an issue for the chair to decide, since we don't want to get into the future
well,
development.
Here,
I understand that, but we do need to be... What was brought to our board is not the development issue. It's the petition from the citizens.
Yes, but their petition was born out of the impetus of this future development.
And it's beyond our purview.
Okay, wait. No, I don't...
Then I apologize to you, Mr. Colmer, and to the board for...
I think I can see the difference in how the consultant needed to be hired by you, if I'm understanding correctly, to bring these issues forward before anything was going to be changed from a city standpoint. The citizens have themselves taken on the issue that something needs to be done. And I have to focus more on the citizens and their petition, because that's actually what falls under our board. So I'm a little tentative on where I have to draw that line, but I do have some serious, you know, restrictions on me on where I do draw it. And
I think it'll reveal itself when the public gives its testimony. And let me just give you an example, because I think it may be as simple as, you know, it may be some issues of vehicles or pedestrians sitting right here and a sight distance, being able to look up this way and see cars coming off the freeway. You have, right now, you have, you know, the regional transit came in and put in a kind of a makeshift bus stop right in this area. They really made no notification to the city,
right,
no permission.
And there's one on the other side, too.
They just came in and did it. Then they came in and put even probably a less quality makeshift regional bus stop over here. Again, you know, no comment, no period, no input. They just came in and did it.
Do they have the authority to do
it? Well, I don't know. You know, to me, they just showed up one day, and there they were. They asked us if it would be okay if they went around and put up, you know, benches and stuff. And somehow or another, the next thing you know, there's benches up there, and there's a bus stop. So, and some of that may have actually been before me. But so a lot of the pedestrians coming from this trailer park or the Blue Heron coming down here and trying to meander and find their way safely through, you know, dirt, gopher holes, weeds, and, you know, get their, you know, find their way down here to the bus station for southbound, or again cross the busy South Bay Boulevard to get over to this bus station, or to cross over. I've seen a lot of people out here jogging, walking. You know, it's a nice quiet street to do all that. So to me, I'm anxious to hear the public's testimony, because they're going to come in and say, well, what's wrong with this intersection now? And sure, 18 more, you know, trips out of this driveway and 14 at the intersection may not be significant, but it's going to certainly make the, you know, condition here, you know, possibly worse. And how can we either, one, improve it now? We'll have a further follow-up ability to go through this process with comments and, you know, and whatnot during that CEQA planning commission process and so on and so forth. So the nuts and bolts of tonight is really listening to the public.
The public. So, Mr. Comer, respectfully, if you could hold on for just a bit. And I want to say to the public, too, as Mr. Cunningham said, this is not your only opportunity. This board is a citizens advisory board, and I think it's important for us to hear not only what you want, but from my understanding of groups and decision-making, what you want, but why. Because sometimes if I understand why you want something, there might be a solution that we hadn't thought of yet. And so, you know, somebody can say, I want X, and you think you agree with them until they explain it, and then you understand that you're coming at X from two different directions. So it's only for my clarification and to help the board here understand, to give Mr. Cunningham more information, the developer more information, and members of the City Council and the Planning Commission that might be watching. So if I could have you kind of orderly kind of come up one at a time to the microphone, please state your name. And let us know what you're thinking, because we're here to listen to you.
And it might be helpful. Chairman. It might be helpful just so that everybody doesn't get up and just repeat the same thing over. You know, if you've got individual concerns and comments, great. If you, you know, if you agree with the speaker, you can always raise your hand and show agreement.
Thank you. And our staff member will be helping us with time, just so we can keep things going. So are we at 3 minutes, Kathy? Okay. So just to help us move along, so you've all got an opportunity to speak.
Okay. My name is Ray McCulloch, and I live in the Blue Heron Terrace Mobile Home Park. Now, first we'll look at South Bay Boulevard. Now, he's talking about putting a turn lane coming from Los Osos so they can turn left onto Quintana. That's fine for the Quintana, I mean for the South Bay Boulevard, but that's not going to help that person trying to turn left. What people don't understand, that there's the bank butt juts out up there, so you don't have a clear shot to the freeway. And by the time they hit that spot coming off the freeway, they're doing 55 miles an hour. I tell you, this is the most dangerous thing as it ever was. And what about the left turn lane on Quintana? Are we going to put a left turn lane there?
I don't think that was part of the proposal.
Anyway, it wouldn't help at all.
Right.
Because
we're on it right now. So he's talking about sitting at this stop sign right here and looking past this embankment towards the vehicles coming off the freeway.
Right.
Yeah.
the bank juts out there where you can't see. Yeah.
Did anybody notice that the city got out there and mowed that embankment?
Yes.
Hey.
See, that's applause for our hard-working city staff. You guys, I hope you're hearing that. The people appreciate you.
We can thank Mr. Jim Mooney and Walt.
Okay. It's Jim and Walt?
All the traffic studies in the world are not going to tell you exactly what's going to happen when Comer brings his union. Comer's unit is going to come into the same driveway that we do to go out to Quintana. And if you leave it like it is, they're going to back up there so none of us can get up. I'm telling you, we have 71 units, and lots of them got two cars, some three cars. And Cromer's got two-story units coming in, 19, 18, that's 36 more cars. And, you know, in 1980, when we first moved in there, there used to be a car once in a while come on South Bay Boulevard from Los Osos. But now it's almost constant. I don't care what time of day. It's almost constant all the time. And on the busy hours, it's chaos if you want to get out. You know what I do now? When I want to go to San Luis, I go up to Morro Bay Boulevard and get on there. But that's ridiculous. You know, we need to solve it here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Wayne Comer. I'm proposing a development at the corner of South Bay and Quintana. During the course of discussion, it was inferred that the traffic report was somehow tainted because my consultants made it. I can assure you that I had no influence over the preparation of the traffic report. The traffic report sort of evolved. The only influence that I've had is the traffic report is available because I'm proposing a development. All the direction and instructions were given by Frank to the traffic engineer, and I have had no input into the traffic report. So the conclusions and recommendations, I haven't influenced them in any way.
My name is Stan Thompson. I'm in the Bay Pines Multiple Court, and I'm getting confused tonight. I don't know why we keep referring to the developer all the time. If only there will be no impact from the development on what's going on now, and it's bad enough now. Why do we have to keep saying wait for the information to the developer to find out if we're going to be able to do anything or not?
Well, that's part of my job, trying to sort all that out with Mr. Cunningham's help.
That's why we're here tonight.
Yeah, there are some of the issues that we really, for me as a human, I have to try to ignore what I'm thinking and listen to the focused issues.
It seems like my understanding is the issue is bad enough now that it warrants some relief without any concern for any development impact. That's what I understood.
Well, that's where we're needing to look at the here and now without really considering the development.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
Well, please understand where our position is and what we have to do. We have to not step on the toes of Planning Commission and let them do their job, which is dealing with the development. We may be able to find a solution and send a recommendation to council that we think something should be done now. Yeah. And that's addressing the citizens' needs now. And I personally have to really not think much about the development because whether it impacts, whether it doesn't impact, there's pros and cons, and it's simply not what I am able to really focus on.
Yeah,
we need to look at here and now. Go ahead.
Well, I just heard some reference that they take all this information or input and get it to the developer. That's what I was hearing.
If I could
comment. I think you missed the part in the aspect that hearing you know, the public right now of concerns, is there something the city can do in the interim? And if it was something like putting in a crosswalk or paving those shoulders, you know, that is stuff that the city could do, you know, in the interim. You know, and I think we have to kind of look at some of these suggestions and recommendations and make the determination whether, one, the city can do it now, can it afford it, you know, can it make those, you know, those changes, or do we need to wait for development to come in to do it? That unfortunately has to, you know, is part of the job of the city to balance
this,
that out.
This is how most improvements happen in the city. The city actually doesn't pay for a lot of it. It's when a developer comes in and develops that we get sidewalk and road improvements. So, you know, there's a little balance there.
I go back to, you know, I review over the accidents, and when
my understanding, it was convenient that there was a proposed development because the information was gathered much more quickly than it would have been to be able to assess the situation as it stands now and make recommendations. And that's what created the tie. It's just getting the information about now. And it came a lot quicker because with our cutbacks, staff wouldn't have gotten to it as soon in as comprehensive a fashion.
I agree.
Looking for some quick clarification. How much power would the city have to reduce the speed limit on the South Bay section that we're speaking about?
They have all the power in the world to do that. Now again, you know, reduction of speed is at the discretion of the city council. You get into the issue of 85th percentile. So if the traffic's buzzing along there and they're all doing 50 miles an hour or 55 miles an hour, that may be a police, you know, enforcement issue. But if 85% of the people are doing 50, you have to post for the 85th percentile. Otherwise, you can't issue tickets. So you play that gamut of, you know, balancing on the fence of trying to, you know, keep the speed limit down, but if 85% of the people are going faster, then you've created what they call a speed trap, and the tickets you write are illegal. And people find out about stuff like that, and they go, hey, I can do 45, and they can't even write me a ticket. So, again, there's procedures and manuals that kind of dictate that. When people come in and say, oh, people are going too fast down Main Street, or they're going too fast down, you know, Morro Bay Boulevard, or they're going too fast down South Bay, my first inclination as a body of people is to call the police station and voice your opinion. Because you need exposure, you need the police out there. You've actually seen in the last year that they've been actually monitoring South Bay Boulevard a lot more because we've had accidents on those curves. Kids and stuff are, you know, especially during the wet conditions, they're still doing 50 miles an hour with the wet conditions, and we've had numerous accidents where they've slid off the curvy sections into the bay. So speed is an issue, but, you know, there's ways to process it. Reducing the speed, you can try to do it. You know, maybe the city council can look at it and say, you know, intersection ahead and post it for 35 miles an hour instead of the 40 miles an hour. You know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Sorry to keep you waiting.
My name is Robin Higgins. I live at the Blue Heron. And unless the information is... Thank you.
It is going the other way.
Yeah, and if you want me to respond to it.
Yeah, it clarifies it. It's going the other way.
I mean, yeah.
If we can keep that kind of to a minimum so the public can get their comments out, I'd really like to make that a priority if we can.
Okay. Rich Hansen, my wife and I live at Blue Heron Mobile Home Park, and we cross this intersection several times a day, both as pedestrians and behind the wheel of our vehicles. We both use that intersection to get to our respective jobs. As far as the accidents go, I know the people at Chuck's Towing, and I've talked with them, and this intersection and the S's is by far the greatest number of their calls for accidents. I couldn't say what the numbers are, but that's where they're going. We live there. We hear the sirens. We hear the screeches, and we like to walk down the east end of Quintana. It's better than going to a gym. And we bird watch as we go, and then we take our life in our hands as we try and cross the road. We're both retired school bus drivers. There are several school bus runs that come through there, and I drive charter bus now, and people who drive crazy generally drive crazier around larger vehicles. I hate to say this about San Luis Obispo, but they've got a little bit of a reputation. I can name at least one intersection that it took a fatality to put a light in. I'd hate to see that happen out here. Let's see. My suggestion for solving a problem would be a street light with a sensor. You know, if it's just going on and off, you're going to back it up. But if you have a sensor to take care of the people that have to make the left-hand turns, you're only slowing that traffic down for a minute portion of the time. And if 85% of the traffic is going up South Bay Boulevard, the light's only going to be green 15% of the time. I don't think that's going to back traffic up to Los Osos, and it's not going to back traffic up onto the freeway. And Caltrans can't throw stones, because when you're coming off that freeway from San Luis Obispo to make a left turn onto South Bay Boulevard, you have to get out into the middle of the road to see traffic coming up because of the curve and the dip. Anyway, that would be... Thank you very much.
Thank you. That would not block anyone coming from... that has Caltrans issues. It wouldn't block that at all. It's very hard to see when you pull up there and try to make a left to get onto the freeway. Extremely hard to see. So I don't see any other issues here. As far as development, I have no problem with development. It's going to make it worse if there's more cars added, because right now we're having problems getting out. So I think we need a signal.
Thank you.
Doug Stewart, my wife and I live at Bay Pines Mobile Home Park. Quite a bit has been said about crossing the street, and we know that that's to be true. It's very dangerous. What we notice living at Bay Pines is coming from town, trying to make a left onto Quintana to go to our home. And it's really dangerous without any lines to have cars go around you. Sometimes they whiz by, and many times you'll have northbound and southbound, and they almost stack up side by side just like a NASCAR race. And you're trying to make a left, and somebody coming north is trying to make a left, and it's really deadly. So even realizing that a light is the ideal thing, possibly, like the Mr. Cunningham suggested, left turn pockets and widening something in the interim would be a big help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Vicki Leon, and I live at the Bay Pines Mobile Park as well. And the other speakers have spoken to a number of the points that I had to say, but I also wanted to point out some other real-life hazards. We've lived there for 5 years now, and the traffic has gotten faster, substantially faster on South Bay Boulevard. I know that for a fact. Beyond that, when you come from the freeway and you're on South Bay Boulevard, and this has happened to me twice now. Twice I've had near misses where I've been in that area. Yeah, put your pointer over a little bit more. Oh, hang on a second. Yeah, like right in there. And someone has come in my lane, and there's no place to go. There's no place to go. It's up a hill. And in fact, you can see on that hillside, you can see where people live there. They live in the Bay Pines RV courts, and they're coming and going. They don't know the area, and they're out there walking with their dogs, and they're doing things that people who live there at least have, you know, a certain amount of survival capacity, because we know the area. but they don't, and they wander out there, and there's no sidewalks on that stretch of Quintana at all, and you have people walking up against the hillside, which in essence makes the hill that we live on, and you have them walking clear out into traffic and then doing stuff like parking there and opening their doors. It's a zoo, basically. You know, you have such a dangerous mix of bicycles, people, and cars. Something really does have to be done. And so I really do beg you to consider this seriously and in the immediate future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good point.
I'm Wilma Smith, and I live in the Bay Pines Mobile Home Park. Travel Trailer Park and the Mobile Home Park look like all one park. They were developed in 1970. even way back then, there were accidents happening at that intersection. And I think when 200 people plus sign a petition requesting the city to do something immediately about that intersection makes a statement. I also think that I can't believe that the consultant for Mr. Comer, of course, we're talking about now, but when he stated that there would be 13 to 14 cars at the peak hour coming out of that development, all the meetings that I have attended where the Planning Commission and the City Council talk about parking, they're requiring whether it can do two cars per home is average. So if there are 30 new homes coming in, I don't know where he gets 13 or 14 vehicles. It'd be more like 2 times 30 vehicles. Most families have two cars. Also, the bus stop, if you're a pedestrian, you're crazy to try to even move around at all. The bus stop, there are no pedestrian lanes. I think a couple of painted lines would are. And you come down that street, and you're going to try to make a left so you can go into the travel trailer park. It's almost impossible. We haven't mentioned much about the travel trailers and problems there. Also, I think that, I don't know who's going to pay for this, but I think there could be some immediate things done right now. Paint some lines, carve off that hillside that we're talking about, put in some way to control the traffic coming down to go into Quintana and into the travel trailer park. A left-hand turn lane, perhaps. I don't know that that's the answer, but there are a lot of big vehicles going in and out of that area, and there's not much room, as Vicki just mentioned, for you when you're coming down and there's a big vehicle and you people trying to pass on the right. They do go up on that hillside. You can see the tire marks trying to get through there. So I think we need something done immediately, and I think when 200 people speak up, it should be done in as of yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman and members of the board. First of all, I'd like to make a request to Mr. Cunningham.
Name.
Bill Davies, Blue Heron Mobile Home Park. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
I'd like to request Mr. Cunningham to check the discrepancy between the engineer's figures and the county figures. It seems to me that there's a great difference there. First of all, the problem is the speed on South Bay Boulevard. 40 miles an hour is the posted limit, and it's very seldom adhered to. I think also another big problem is since they put in the two bus stops and no crosswalk, the pedestrian traffic is just taking their life in their hands. And thirdly, I'd like to invite all you to drive down Quintana Boulevard, cross the road, if you can, without an accident, and park, you know, by Bay Pines, and then walk between the two bus stops across South Bay Boulevard, and you'll get an actual appreciation for what the situation is. Thank you.
Thank you. And I can... And I can say I have walked down there quite a bit since Dial-A-Ride doesn't go to the vet anymore and I have to walk the rest of the way. So.
Hi, my name is Joya Sizemore. I live in Blue Heron, use of C. I am a paralegal and my hours are very uneven, so I'm not necessarily going through that intersection in the AM, PM times that were tested for it. My biggest problems when I go into that intersection are usually on Saturday and Sunday. I'll be in there from 9 to 11, headed into San Luis to go to work. And that is when I sit at that intersection for a minute or more. And I just wanted to say that a traffic evaluation just doesn't appear to be right for this area. Maybe in L.A., the morning and evening stuff, it's appropriate. But Morro Bay is a place where people come to vacation. And the weekend traffic needs to be looked at, too, because it's heavy on those times. I don't have so much trouble at night because I'm coming in and I'm making a right onto Quintana to go into the park. But it's when I'm going to work. And I can sit there for 2 minutes on Saturday and Sunday. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Nelson Sullivan. I don't live in either of the parks, but I visit the Bay Pines often, and I live at the south end of Main Street in Morro Bay, so I use the State Park Road and the Quintana. In the South Bay, State Park Road to South Bay Boulevard, quite a bit. And I admire Mr. Cunningham's professionalism, but I wonder if he's got an aspiring artist in his staff there. There's 1,000 lines on that map, and it took me 10 minutes to figure out which was which. And I think the rest of the city might have the same problem. I appreciated hearing about the ruts on the bank there. They've been a puzzle to me for a long time. And now I understand that people are trying to save their lives by going around it. The traffic is much too fast on South Bay Boulevard approaching that intersection. That's got to be slowed down. There's another problem with South Bay Boulevard, and that's where State Park Road intersects it coming from the state park. And
anyone else like to speak this evening? Okay. Did everyone who spoke sign in on the list for city staff so that they can? Oh, there isn't? Where did our list go? We're supposed to have a list there. Is there, can we circulate one or set one down?
Guilty, guilty. Okay. I didn't sign it either.
Just what are you up to?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the reason for that is it's part of the official record, and if you could please take care of getting your names there on the list for staff. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Please come up.
My name is Jeannie Burns, and my husband Marvin and I moved here from Bakersfield last September because we love Morro Bay. And Bay Pines, we live in Bay Pines, Mobile Home Park, the senior park. And Bay Pines was our last choice because of that intersection. When we're together, it takes both of us to get out across that street. He looks one way, I look the other, I say it's clear after this car, and we do that over and over and over while we're sitting there before we can cross. I work at Dial-A-Ride, I'm a dispatcher, so in the morning at 6:30, South Bay Boulevard is wonderful. But at noon, I have to go freeway because I have to make a right and go get on the freeway to come back to work. So, and at nighttime, I have to take the freeway again so I can get off, make a right, and then I have to make a left with all that oncoming traffic and cars going around me this way. I, too, never knew what those ridges were on that little hill there, and now I know it's because people were trying to get out of the way because they were in danger. So, we didn't sign the petition last year. We didn't know anything about it. I don't know what month it was, but here we are. We've been here about 8 months now. We love Morro Bay, but we sure would like that intersection to be safe.
Okay. Thank you very much. See, we knew if we prodded you in.
35, possibly. Because it's a fatality waiting to happen. It really is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Be sure to sign in, please.
Yeah, were you able to sign in, please, on the list? Oh, it's not there. Oh, it's circulating through the audience.
It looks like
You can tell that we seldom have a crowd, huh?
I know I already spoke, but there was one other issue that nobody discussed was the wildlife at the preserve. We've got the deer and animals all across the road, too, and that's a big factor. They walk in my front yard and all over the place. So they're another factor that's not here to represent themselves.
Thank you.
Thank you. But don't sign in twice. Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Okay, going once, going twice, gone for just now. Okay, Frank, did you have any other comments that you wanted to put in before we broke into some hopefully serious discussion? You're
no, I do not.
Out of it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I could respond to some of the little odds and ends, but first of all, what I'd like to do is thank everybody for that's exactly what, as far as I'm concerned, what we need, and especially myself. You know, I need to go back and maybe get out there. Maybe if you guys want to piece together a couple representatives to come meet with me, we drive out there, we kick the dirt, we take a look, we, you know, put our heads together and try to see what shakes out. You know, and at the same time, I can try to inform you what I can do, what I cannot do, why my hands are tied. And at some point in time, it'll probably come back to PWEB, you know, as a staff report for a recommendation for them to make a recommendation to, you know, planning commission or city council. You know, if it's going to be in any way, shape, or form tied to the development, it would go to planning commission for when that goes. If it's something we want to expedite and get moving now, it would be a recommendation right to city council to put in crosswalks or to shave the hillside or, you know, pave those shoulders or that kind of stuff. So, and of course, you guys know how to get a hold of me at Public Services, 772-6261, and I'd be happy to meet with you and go from there.
Thank you, Frank. And also, too, do folks understand how so much of a traffic signal gets there? I personally always recommend to people to start those letter-writing campaigns to Caltrans. You'd be amazed what you can do by just annoying the hell out of them. It's, you know, an individual person gets more respect from a state agency than another city does. They can hang up the phone on us. And if you just annoy them, eventually they'll buckle. But that's just my little 2 cents, or maybe a penny and a half. What I'm hearing predominantly, I mean, all of you had concerns with the speed. And I can say, too, that, you know, when the engineer comes in and does his report, he has to do it from his field of specialty, which is going to be different than your concern. So in his defense, he's doing his job that he's been paid to do, and it wasn't to improve your current situation. It was to provide a traffic engineering standpoint for potential development later. So please understand that, you know, I mean, everybody here is having to deal with the constraints that their specific job puts them in. And one of the nice things about working on Public Works Advisory Board is that we get to hear the stuff that falls between the cracks. And that's why you're here, and that's why we're listening. So I hope we're getting that through to you, that we're really listening. Something does need to be done. I mean, also saying the issues of enforcement, you know, when we lower speed limits, then we've got to make sure people actually go the speed limit. Due to budget cuts, I think Morro Bay Police Department has 2 and at the most 4 officers at any one time. Anybody gets arrested, that's an officer off the street for anywhere from half an hour to 3 hours while they're taking somebody to jail. And everything else is left up to a couple of people, and we just don't have enough people to do it all the time. I know we've got a radar trailer. We can maybe make some recommendations that the radar trailer get put out there a little more often. And try to see what we can do. So, I mean, what I've got here is the embankment issue, the speed issue, possible crosswalk issues, and, gee, since SLOCOG or RTA put in the stops, maybe we can get some bucks out of them to paint a crosswalk. You can tell them I said so. They won't listen to me. But the turn lane issue would definitely, the turn lane issue on South Bay is not going to help you folks trying to get across on Quintana. I mean, we know that. It's going to help stop the rear end accidents and the people running around you when they have no place to go when somebody's trying to make a left turn. But I understand, and I think everybody here on the board understands, that you guys are trying to get across. and it doesn't matter whether you're walking or on a bicycle or in a car, it's hard. It's hard to see. And the same things when I'm with friends. We're both looking both directions, trying to let each other know when it's clear this way and that. We do now. Who'd like to start?
Well, I think you did a good job of listing the concerns that were brought up tonight as far as we've got visibility, speed of traffic, crosswalk and pedestrian safety, especially with the bus stops, and then potentially the turning lanes. So seems like that would be a direction we could take as far as recommendation to the board to at least look into how we could go about getting some of these things taken care of as soon as possible.
Bill, how are you doing? Do you have any comments for us?
No. Yes, we need cross. We need the left turn.
Excuse me, didn't stay on. We need the left turn lanes on South Bay Boulevard both ways. We need to slow the traffic on South Bay Boulevard. And we need to do something to make it easier for people to cross South Bay Boulevard. Whatever that means is, I don't know, but because of the fact that you've got Caltrans involved, I don't know, but it has to be done one way or another. That's it.
Jane?
I totally agree. You know, we've used that intersection. I think everyone in town uses that intersection, and we all have the same problem. I really find it very difficult to get off the freeway and then turn on South Bay Boulevard from the freeway going toward the south. That's just as hard as that little intersection that we're talking about right now.
I had a hard time doing that on a motorcycle with nothing but a front wheel in front of me. That's a tough one.
I bet.
Barry?
Well, I think we're all using different forms of the same categories. I want to list some things, and I personally right now have a feeling that this will have to be continued for us to do our best job because of some additional information. I mean, definitely, and I'm doing this entirely from the point of view of addressing existing conditions. Now, I'll have to say that based on past experience on this board and understanding the role of the guidelines cities go by, and this liability issue is actually quite important to follow the state standards, a stoplight is not in the picture of existing conditions unless Frank would say that sensor lights are in a different category, which the speed, not only the speed in both directions, but clearly also concentrating on what happens around the S-curve. And I don't know, and I'm going to list possibly and just say they don't make sense, but to list them because people will bring them up, speed bumps, cobbles, and signing, even rails, including the kind of, you know, rails with big signs on them. Then obviously the left turn lanes help vehicle safety, but doesn't help the pedestrians.
Actually might make farther to walk across the street.
But in terms of the easier to cross, there's clearly the issue of crosswalks. And I don't know how much work can be done with RT, but that would be on my list. Of when you can't separate, to me, the crosswalks from the bus stops. And then the issue of sidewalks was also brought up. So what I'm suggesting is, and I think it's along the lines Frank was suggesting, it's easy to come up with a list of things, takes a bit more discussion to say, what of that list, putting it together as a package, that should be done right now? And all the things I listed, I view as things as possibly to be done right now because the existing condition would warrant it. And there are more issues of where you're going to get the funding and that kind of thing. These kinds of improvements don't have the hard and fast formulas that traffic lights have. Stop signs and traffic lights, as I understand it, is that these we have more leeway in terms of getting in, not say getting in trouble, but running afoul of consistency with statewide standards, which gets us into the liability issues. So I am for firmly proceeding as rapidly as possible, but I feel I'm fully informed as to what the best ideas are, to a very strong recommendation to the city council about improvements to deal with the, especially the pedestrian safety and the vehicle exit from the mobile home parks. And I would add that that strong recommendation to the city council for existing conditions would become a point of departure for discussions that would be used both by the council and the planning commission when they discuss any
be done immediately to alleviate some of the concerns that you all presented to us tonight. Reducing the speed limit, I think, would be a good beginning. That is a Caltrans situation, unfortunately, but I think we can begin to encourage them to do so. That would be a big help in both directions to reduce that speed limit.
I don't think Caltrans has anything to prevent us from speed limit changes.
That isn't the Caltrans?
Fine. Nope.
That's us.
It's the issue, though, of the if the traffic, you can't enforce it with tickets. Well, Frank will explain it.
What I'm more interested in is at least letting the public know that the speed limit should be reduced. And with proper signage, instead of saying 40 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, they might slow them down a little bit. But I think there needs to be some additional signage, alerting the driving public that there are pedestrians approaching this intersection. I don't know right now that there is such a sign that says warning pedestrian crossing. I think there needs to be a pedestrian crosswalk, and I think there needs to be signage in both directions that there is a pedestrian side crosswalk so that the drivers are aware that you're out there, because right now they're not. They're not looking out for you because they don't know you're there until they all of a sudden are on you. So I would be in favor of signage and a crosswalk and relining intersection lines, repainting them, making sure that people can see them. And also, I would be interested in having somebody do something to correct the bus stop situations. That people shouldn't have to be taking their lives in their hands just to catch a bus to go somewhere. And I am not knowledgeable enough to know what needs to be done, but I do believe, as a board, we should recommend that something be done immediately. Our main concern, your main concern, is your safety and health. That's all that really matters. And if we can do something immediately to alleviate your fears and to create a better situation for you where you're more safe, or at least feel more safe, then your quality of life is improved. And that's what we're here for also, and how you feel. And because that's what government's all about. Nothing happens unless you tell us to do something. And you've made your points quite clear tonight, and I greatly appreciate it. This board greatly appreciates it. So I would be in favor of doing something now, and I would be in favor of fashioning a motion to indicate what we can do now as a board. May I intervene?
Frank, yeah, I was going to ask you a couple of questions, Frank.
Well,
go ahead.
I think Dr. Dorfman kind of hit the nail on the head. To me, it's very important to continue to get the public's input, and I'd like to have you take me up on my offer to meet with several representatives, get out there and take a look, scratch a little bit. There's actually several things in motion. For the first time, the police department has this nice new equipment. They went out and just recently did a speed survey. I'm required to do a speed survey every 7 to 10 years, depending on conditions and changes and this and that, so that we're updating exactly what are the 85th percentiles, what are the posted speeds, are they accurate. The police submitted some of those speed surveys to me several months ago. To be honest with you, I haven't had the time to get to them. I'm now a little more motivated. I will get to them. Will be information that I think will be pertinent to if the police went out there and they saw the 85th percentile you know, lower a little bit. That would be justification to lower the speeds out there. And again, it would fall within that criteria of 85th percentile and not creating a speed trap. The other thing that's working in the works is I had made a recommendation to look at overlaying South Bay Boulevard. If you go out there and drive South Bay, especially when it was raining, when you drive it, you see just cracks going all over the place. Mr. Boucher and I came in and overlaid that street a little over 3 years. I'm sorry, we slurry sealed that street a little over 3 years ago. Now, we did overlay from South Bay Bridge, Choro Creek Bridge, down to the city limits. That was in worse shape. So we overlaid that. We slurry sealed. To be honest with you, the slurry seal didn't really work. We thought it would hold it, but it was slurry seal is really a band-aid for that much traffic and the speeds. You can see there's lots of cracks going on. We don't want to lose South Bay Boulevard because that would doing a major reconstruction out there would just be horrendous. So I am in the process of making recommendations to get out there and overlay South Bay Boulevard to get it in there before the next winter, because another wet winter like we had March or April, we could be really in trouble. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So I would like to, if nothing else, table this, give me the opportunity to kind of, another thing that we did a site distance study out there. So we are aware of the site distance issues. That's something I can certainly bring back to your board. So allow me to go meet with some representatives, go through those police reports, continue pursuing the overlay, and hopefully I can report back in a month or two, and then you guys can make recommendations to City Council and hammer this down pretty tight.
Frank, can I ask you, just my guess, taking care of that hillside would probably be the most expensive thing that we've talked about. Repainting the street might be next. Putting in some signage would be maybe the cheaper option. How do you feel? What's your take on that?
I'm not sure.
It's going to cost like $500 per sign when you put a sign in.
I'm not sure how you correlate the hillside and sign. So it's one or the other or both.
No. What I'm saying is if we were actually to do something with the line of sight issue because of that hillside, that would probably be a rather expensive endeavor with retaining walls and cutting back things. Am I mistaken on that?
It might.
Okay. Is anybody in the audience besides myself really offended by the idea that 80% of the traffic sets what the speed limit is? 85%. I'm thinking, you know, we're human beings and we're adults. If we want the traffic to slow down, we reduce the speed limit and enforce it. So I understand that's the formula, but I have a little bit of a problem with it. I also have a problem with tabling it when, you know, I think there are things that we could be doing in the meantime. I understand some of the constraints that you're dealing with, but I'm having a serious problem with tabling some form of recommendation to City Council that they address the issue more seriously in the meantime. And that might mean directing you and providing some funds to give you more time to explore it.
Well, I can throw one more little coin of thought in there, and keep in mind the city and its budget woes. We are right now, May is budget review. The end of this month, you'll start to see the budget process. So the City Council is going through what it spent last year and what it intends to spend next year. So, that's going to be a good indication of, I mean, virtually right now there's no money budgeted for any improvements on South.
About the what could be felt as a delay, as long as it isn't, and I think it's a better job for the public if we have both their input and what Frank, as I understand it, was offering, and was also, I'll say, the technical evidentiary base, is because we get one shot at the City Council to make a strong recommendation.
That's exactly
and that
right.
Combination, if it can get timely in the budget, and there still may not be money, but at least it'll be timely both to them and be available to the Planning Commission. There's the possibility that we could have this back in a month, but does it cause you angst? We can't direct you, but no more than 2 months, because then I begin to worry.
Sure.
you know. And it, having worked in government, the combination of the evidentiary base coming from the technical expert plus the 200 people, something definitely will have to be done now with that combination. And I don't concern, one of the advantages of being on an advisory board that doesn't have any authority is I don't concern, I think about the money and ask what the city's money interest is, but in these kinds of situations, what needs to be done, that's their job. I don't mean that I take the fiscal situation lightly, but our job is to say, what do we think needs to be done to fix this? And they have to juggle it with lots of other things. So I don't try and balance one against the other cost-wise at this level, because I know that I don't view it is our charge. So I would move that next month, but no later than 2 months, the city engineer return with a list of recommendations to improve pedestrian and vehicle safety at that intersection, based on his further analysis and meetings with the community.
I don't know that we can have a motion directing city staff to...
Yes, he can.
Direct?
I'll second the motion for this.
So what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to, in our advisory capacity, find some way of formalizing that you're going to be able to have this time.
The words would be, do you have the motion as I said it, and then I can get the end in? Okay.
I remember the motion, if you'd like it.
Pardon?
I remember the motion.
Okay, if you could repeat the motion that I made, and then I'll add the different words at the
yes,
end.
Yes, just have Frank
return 1 month.
Return at this next meeting, and I say the next meeting because the following meeting is July, and that meeting may be canceled. So by the next meeting in June, to make recommendations based on meetings with three or four of this particular group that showed up tonight, and Frank getting together, coming back to us in our June meeting with recommendations to make to City Council. That was your motion, basically. That's the motion that I'm seconding.
There.
I don't think I've ever had a second kind of word.
He squeezed it down
first.
A little bit from 2 months down to 1 month. But
yeah, well, the and his report can be, he still hasn't finished it. Fine, we understand. We have to respect the staff's.
Can you do it in 1 month, Frank?
That could be a little tough. I've got a lot of stuff on my plate.
Then I will I'll rephrase it, give you leeway.
And in case everybody isn't aware, our street superintendent's turned in his resignation. So I'm having to step in and kind of slide into some.
We're going to see Frank out there with a broom any day now.
I'm sorry, you've already seen me out there with a broom.
Yeah, I have seen you out there with a broom and a shovel and a rake and pulling things out of storm drains.
If you look at the bottom of my shoes, even though they're my dress shoes, yeah, they're kind of coated with asphalt and all kinds of good stuff.
Okay. Is the motion understandable to me, Kathy?
No. Kathy's not here.
Kathy's not here.
Oh.
This is...
Who am I
like
talking
to? Joan.
This is Joan Drake.
I'm decent.
See, this is what happens when we have new members and staff members sitting in for people that are absent or on.
Is the motion understandable?
In public comment.
It's just a simple motion. Make some recommendations based on what this group tells Frank, and come back when you can, Frank.
How do you folks feel about this? This is how informal we get to be. You won't get this at a city council meeting, by golly. You're going to get it right here. We're going to sit here and ask you, what do you think?
My job.
Do you think that's okay? Okay. You've been very cooperative and very understanding over a
second.
And we have a second? Is everybody okay with what the motion was, that these folks are going to have three or four representatives meet with Frank, and he will be getting back with us sometime between our June and July meeting? Okay. Can we have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The vote is unanimous.
Also, I just would like to mention that the signatures are closer to 300 And surprisingly, I'd forgotten one of them is mine. So, anyway, folks, thanks for showing up. Thanks for your input. And the next opportunity you get to speak on this issue, please do.
Yes. Frank, thank you. Thank you, members of the audience. Thank you for coming. And we have some cleaning up. We're going to move on to future agenda items. Number 10, we have a North Coast Transit Plan coming up.
Excuse us, we still have some business to do, so if you could...
We'll have the party at Moe's later on.
Well, let's enjoy this, Barry.
Because we're going to need to. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Drive safe going back through that dangerous intersection on your way home. Okay, board members, let's bring it back around, please, so we can wrap up. We have future agenda items, the North Coast Transit Plan. Frank, are you aware if Janine will be joining us, or is this for next meeting, or was it just kind of coming up?
I think it's on the table, because okay. Bill Boucher had mentioned that Jean knew it was coming, you know, Janine's okay. Bringing it.
I know the consultant had said that he would have that to us by February or March, and we knew that wouldn't wouldn't be realistic.
I'm aware of at least two other items that are coming to your board.
Can you please bring those back to my small little overworked brain?
Well, one is the Cayucas Morro Bay Bicycle Connector. The County Parks and that group, Firma and the consultants all want to come over here and do a presentation, starting letting you know what's in the works there. This is...
These are not confirmed, but just things that are coming up?
Yeah. Just for, you know, they're planning on putting a nice Class 1 bikeway from the north end of Morro Bay into Cayucas, so there's a lot of interagency interaction and so on and so forth. So I think they feel it's comfortable that it's time to come bring that to city.
Okay.
I believe that's all I am aware of.
Did anybody else have anything that I have forgotten that we were going to revisit?
Keeping when Janine can get to it, explain at least timeline-wise how this pilot is, we're going to know that we're going to, that the city will face possibly having to cut...
That won't be until after the pilot program is over and whether or not it passes by a set formula. I know it's a set number of riders that have to fulfill that for it to be passed from pilot to permanent.
Or maybe just put the Sunday service pilot so we could get a presentation off the top of her head. We don't need a staff report. Just when she's here so she knows that'll be asked about.
And she's also very good about going in and checking with her. She'd give you the rundown.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, she's available. You can give her a call, email her, and ask her to present that information at the director's report, or write you guys a memo, and whatever you prefer.
At the director's report time, just to, when she's here, there's plenty of time to do it. But it's something down the road.
Okay. Anybody else? Future agenda items.
Oh, yes.
Oh, thank you. See, I knew that somebody would remind me. I had something in my head.
Do we want to consider having someone be a liaison with the New Frontiers Group from this perspective? We educate them, which I don't think is the way to go, what they're about, what we're about, what our role is. Or we be a bit proactive in the sense that we stay educated about their progress so that as various items come up for us or we see where they're going, we can be at least participant supportive.
Can we put it as a tentative discussion action item? In case we actually might appoint somebody that might want to do that, we would need to also label it as action. So we can put it as tentative action discussion depending on whether these other things fill up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much for remembering that.
Yeah. Okay.